above and beyond just for giving us this time. We thank you very, very much. And it's really a very special group of people who are making lots of efforts to be here to hear Torah from Rosh Hashiva. And we thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, welcome to New York. We have an institution in the Mishnah on Daf Lama Gimel on Beis that's called Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachos. That the correct practice should be that we should blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, at the conclusion of Malchias, at the conclusion of Zichronis, and at the conclusion of Shofars, and it appears earlier as well. Here the Mishnah talks about a situation that when they were davening Musaf, they didn't have a shofar. They had no brera, so they're not going to wait 2 hours. So they daven Musaf already. So the Mishnah says, Birech, if he already daven Musaf, Achakachnas dam no lo shofar, he gets the shofar later on, so then he blows shofar later on. He has no choice. So the Gemara says, you see from the Mishnah, on Lamed Dal Amud Beis, that's the last Amud Beis, the Masech ends on Lamed Hamed Aleph, on the last Amud Beis, the Gemara says, you see from the Mishnah, time of the Lahavale shofar meikara. The reason why he blows after Musaf, because he didn't have a shofar. If he would have a shofar meikara, he would have had a shofar before, he would have blown shofar, I'll say to Abrachas, so the Gemara says, yeah, that's the din, only b'tzibur, b'yochid not. Let's say a person is about to keiah, and he's sick at home, he can't go to shul, and he wants to blow shofar in the middle of chazor, in the middle of his tefillah b'lachash, or let's say he doesn't know how to blow shofar, he has a balta keiah sitting there, so he's in the hospital, he doesn't feel well, so he's going to say the shtilah shmoneh esrei, and someone's going to blow shofar at the conclusion of his malchiyism. So the Gemara says, you don't do that. You only blow shofar in the middle of the shmoneh esrei when it's b'tzibur. When it's tefillah b'yochid, the din doesn't apply. So what kind of a din is this? That you have tkiyas al seder habrachas. What is this based on? So the Rashi in his commentary on Chumash on Parshas Amor gives you the drush of the Tanoim. At Parshas Amor you have the Parsha of all the Yamim Tovim, Parshas Amor, and in Pinchas and Re'eh you have 3 times the Parshas Amoados. So in Parshas Amor the Pasuk says different psukim describing Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi shows how you figure out from the psukim that you have to recite Malchus, Zechronis, and Shofars on Rosh Hashanah. So it sounds from Rashi as if the reciting of these 3 brachas is a din min haTorah. You have to daven on Rosh Hashanah and mention Malchus, Zechronis, and Shofars, these 3 things. And Rashi on the Gemara has like that a few times. The Gemara is our practice is that we blow Meir Koilos. We have 100 koilos. We blow Tkiyah, Shvarim, Truah, Tkiyah count. Counts as 4 koilos. And you blow that 3 times, so 3 times 4 is 12. And you have tkiyah, trua, tkiyah, tkiyah, shvarim, tkiyah. Blow that 3 times, and that 3 times you have it. And everything adds up some total to 100 koilos. So that's, Tosis says that from the Oruch. The Oruch is one of the earlier Rishonim before the days of Rashi's, the contemporary Rashi. So the big Tosis on Lam Gimel Beis quotes from the Oruch that they blow from the Tshuvas Hagadim, that you blow Meir Koilos. But the Mikra Adin, you don't have to blow so much. How much you blow? So Mikra Adin, we assume, the Gemara has it discussed. Mikra Adin, you assume, you only have to blow Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah 3 times. We're not sure what Trua is, so we blow all the logical possibilities. The different opinions in the Gemara, whether Trua is what we call Trua, Trua is what we call Shvarim, Trua is what we call Shvarim, Trua, so we blow all the possibilities. So Rashi says on the Gemara, why do you have to blow Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah 3 times? Once for Malchias, once for Zichronis, and once for Shofar. So it sounds from Rashi as if he really thinks that Malchus and Shofars is a din haTorah. You have to daven on Rosh Hashanah, and the text of the davening has to include mentioning of Malchus and Shofars. So the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash on Parshas Amor, disagrees with the Rashi. He says, Rashi, it sounds like it's a real din d'oraisa. He says, nah, the whole thing is only an asmachta with the Rabbanon. Davening on Rosh Hashanah with the Malchus and Shofars, the whole thing is only the Rabbanon. He proves it from the Gemara. The Gemara has a statement. What happens if in my village where I live there's no shofar and there's no machzer and then no one's going to be able to daven malchus when the shofars and no one's going to be able to blow shofar, period. I have the ability to go out of town. In Europe this was a common practice that people would travel away for Rosh Hashanah or they would go away for Yom Tov in order to have a minyan. I mean, the Yeshuvanikas didn't have a minyan all year long. And Parsha Zohar, they would go to town. Shoshanim Kippur, they would go to the big city. So the Gemara has a situation, the village where I live, there's neither a shofar nor a machzer, so I can't stay there. I have an option of either going to one village or another. One village there's a shofar, but there's no machzer. So they'll only be able to blow shofar, they won't be able to daven malchus v'chein shofars. In the other village, there's only a machzor, but there's no shofar. So they won't be able to daven machzor zman shofar. They won't be able to blow shofar. So which of the two villages should I go to? So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, you go to the village where they have the shofar. So the Gemara says, pshita, it's a dead giveaway. Tkiyah shofar is a din in the Torah. Machzor zman shofar is only a din in the Rabban. So of course you go to the place where you're going to have the din deraisa. So the Gemara says, so what do I need a Braisa to tell me such an obvious din? So the Gemara says, no, the Braisa means to tell me that in one village there's a vadai that they have a machzor, so I'll get machzor and shofar, and it will not be any shofar. The other village, there is no machzor, and there may or may not be a shofar. There may or may not be a shofar. So I may be left with nothing. I may be left with kerech, mikan, kerech, I may have nothing. So the Gemara says, that's what the Braisa tells me, that it's preferable to go to the village where there's a suffix that maybe you'll get the tkiyas, even though for sure you won't get the machzor zman shofar. It's better to go to that village than to go to the other village where you're going to have a vadai, a machzor zman shofar, and no shofar. A suffix on a deraisa is better than a vadai on a derabban. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's how the Gemara said, that's what they did. So the Ramban says in his commentary on Chumash and Parsha Samar, how can Rashi on Chumash write as if Malchus Zechayna Shofis is a dim in a Torah? If the Gemara said the Torah, said Son of the Rabban, the Gemara says that it's preferable to go to the village where there's a suffix, maybe you'll get Shofis, maybe you won't get Shofis, better to go there rather than to go to the village where you'll vadai have the Malchus Zechayna Shofis. Why? If this is their Isa, so go to the village where you're going to have the Malchus Zechayna Shofis.
Are there other examples where you have, you know, the vadai Derabbanan versus the suffix Deraisa?
I don't know, but this is the rule. The Gemara develops
this.
Yeah, this is the
rule. Isn't it only about the Raisa when there's a shofar? To do the Malchus Shofis on the Kiyas. That's the Raisa.
Ah, so that's what there's a Sefer Yom Trua, a Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It's one Sefer together with the Kappas tomorrow. By a Sephardic Goyim from the 1500s. So he writes that the only time Rashi meant to say that the Malchus on the Shofis is the Raisa is when it's going to be in conjunction with the Tkiyah Shofar. If you have Tkiya Shofar, then blowing a Seder HaBrachas, that's a Din Deraisa. But just to recite the Brachas without a Shofar, Rashi will agree to the Ramban. That's a B'fei Rashi Gemara. And then Malchus Zman Shofar is only with the Rabban. Yeah. Why should davening, it's interesting, why should davening all of a sudden be over here Deraisa and you have to daven Malchus Zman Shofar? There is an old machlokes where the davening is the rice of the Rabbanon. The Rambam's opinion is that the obligation to daven once a day, every day is mina Torah. And the Ramban disagrees and says the whole obligation to daven is only mina Rabbanon. Even once a day, every day is only mina Rabbanon. The only time as one is obligated to daven mina Torah is when it's be'ez tzara. Yisovim mechomam li'artzichem, alam tzara tzores, v'hara yoysem v'chatzoy tzores. So then you have to daven mina Torah. But if there's no ez tzara, then there's no obligation to daven. So why should it all of a sudden be that on Rosh Hashanah, Rashi is of the opinion that the daven Malchus Zman Shofar becomes a din deraisa?
What if it's a Shabbos and there's no shofar? Would the davening elevate to a higher level?
No, so then Rashi will say that it's only the Rabbanon. Rashi only says that Malchus Zman Shofar is deraisa when it comes in conjunction with the shofar. When the Malchus Zman Shofar is with that shofar, then he says it's only the Rabbanon. Oh, so that's what the Rishayim say right now. The Rishayim say, based on the Gemara in the first third in the Dorim, the Gemara had the first daf in Chulin, the Gemara has also, there's a machlek zamer Yehuda, is it permissible to take a neder? To be menader, to give money to itself. So the Pasuk says, Tova sheva tida mishitida v'loy tushav. It's better not to take a neder at all, rather than to take a neder, not to pay up the neder. But there's a third possibility. He takes a neder and he does pay up. What about that? So we pass and told these emes in another kolik. At best is he should never take any nedarim. He should never take any nedarim because he may be nichshol. He may never pay up the neder. So the Tosfos writes on the first daf in Chulin, they quote a medrash from the Bereishis Rabbah that it says that when Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav, Vayidei Yaakov neder leimar yir lekini modi yishmarani baderech hazeh. So he took a neder. So Tosfos quotes the Medrash Rabbah, and we can from this pasuk we learn out that it's a mitzvah lida the eis tzor. When a person is running away from his brother wants to kill him, so he is clearly the eis tzor. So this is quoted on the first page in Yerudei Chelagimel. Even though the Hilchas Nedarim, Hilchas Shavuos and Nedarim. beginning of the third chelik yeredeya. So even though normally we say it's recommended never to take any neder, never to take any shvua, but it's a mitzvah lead of the esar, either a tzaras hayachid, a tzaras hatzib, it's a mitzvah to take a neder. And it's derived from this pasuk, because the pasuk says, v'yidiyankev neder lemar. What does the word lemar mean? So the Gemara says in Yuma that the word lemar usually has the connotation of lemar liyisrael, like v'adab Hashem al Moshe lemar. So we usually translate, and the Lord spake unto Moses saying, lemar, colon. So if it would be modern Hebrew, we say v'adab Hashem al Moshe, colon, and leave out the word lemar. So the Gemara says no, that the word lema means that Rabbi Shalom gave Rishus to Moshe Rabbeinu to say over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael. And if lema Yisrael, if he wouldn't have told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell it over to the Bnei Yisrael, it would have been understood that it should be kept a secret, that he shouldn't tell over the dinim. So if the word lema in biblical Hebrew means lema lacherim, so how do you translate Vayida Yankit Neda lema, Emil Akimi Modi? How do you translate the word lema over there? Isn't it obvious that the word lema just means colon? Say. So the Medrash says no. Lema ladaris, v'yidu yankev neder, yank mina took a neder, lema ladaris, to teach all the future generations that when we have the Eis Tzara, we should also accept upon ourselves a neder, and in the schus of a neder, and we should see to it that we fulfill that neder, the Eis Tzara, and in the schus of taking those neder and living up to them, we should be nitzal from the Eis Tzara.
Still, why do we have to say lema? Because we know we're ourselves. All the time we learn from the
Interesting kasha. I don't know. It's a good kasha. But that's how the Medrash says it. It's a good kasha. We understand lema l'doros to teach us and all the future generations. That's how the Balei Musa used to say. When I was a student here in the yeshiva, so the Mashgiach, Zechan L'Racha, was from Slavotka. So he said, the Balei Musa, Flegen Zogin, HaRosh Hashanah, Ona Kabol, Ez Nishken Rosh Hashanah. You have to take New Year's resolutions. What do you mean New Year's resolution? You have to make a Kabol, some of the Dorim. The Dorim that are reasonable, not that unreasonable neder. You know, my father-in-law, Zechan L'Bracha, after he passed away, so the children found among his things, they found index cards, 30 years worth of index cards, the Kabbalists that he took every year of Rosh Hashanah. So he took a Kabbalah every year of Rosh Hashanah to be Mavis Sedra every week with Rashi. It's things that are reasonable, not unreasonable, to go to Mikveh every Friday, whatever, things that are within reason. Not to be Mekabal and neder, that's going to be too difficult to observe. So that's the mitzvah lead of the Yisar. So the Rishonim say that they developed a minig of reciting Yisker several occasions of the year. What is the Yisker all about? So the Yisker, the Iker of the Yisker really is to take an edit to give tzedakah. And once you're taking the edit to give the tzedakah, so you say, and this should be farechan does a schus for the niftar who educated us in this mitzvah that we should give tzedakah. So why did they single out these specific times of the year? So they said because Ba'abra Prokim Ho'elam Nidon. The Gemara says that it's a Yom Adin. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Zman Adin and Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Each one of them is a Yom Adin. The Pesach Nidonim Al Tfua and Bechag Nidonim Al Amayim and Shavuot Nidonim Al Peres Ilon. So since the Mishnah says that these occasions are well considered Yom Adin, so it's a mitzvah lead of the Esor. It's a mitzvah to accept upon yourself nedarim that you'll be able to fulfill later on, that the din should turn out l'tayva. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is also Yemei Adin. So the Pashti says it certainly, like you said, certainly is an Esor. So the din requires, even according to the Ramban, the din would require that there should be some tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. So that's where Rashi's opinion is, that this is a din d'oraisa. The Ramban also agrees, probably. Is a mitzvah min atar to daven on Rosh Hashanah, but he claims that malchus aren't shofars. That's only mid rabban. And Rashi understands no, that malchus zochen shofars is min atar when it comes in conjunction with the tkiyas. That's what the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak.
According to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah daven Rosh Hashanah when there's no shofars and when it's even on Shabbos.
Right, because it's a yom adin. But the Ramban holds that the recitation of Malchus on the Shofar. Right. But the Ramban holds that the recitation of the Malchus on the Shofar, that's only the Rabban. But it would be an Eis Tzara, you mechuyev to daven min atar. And Rashi holds, like the Ramban, there's a chiyev to daven, but there's a chiyev to daven, the Malchus on the Shofar is well.
According to Rashi and the Reis Lov, according to the Ramban and the Rabban Lov, what's the Sheikh's Malchus on the Shofar and the Eis Tzara? The Eis Tzara is please Hoshana. That would be the
Eis Tzara. Right. So here, each one of the three brachas, Malchus Chen Shofar, concludes with a bakosha. The Shemon Esrei, the Gemara says, the general outline of the Shemon Esrei, you have the Gimel Rishonis, or Shevach, before you offer your prayer, the essence of davening always is bakasha. Bakasha is to Rechem Barishlam should take care of our needs. So you start off, it's not the Acheret to run in right away to give the bakasha to Rechem. So first you have to start off with the Reshevach, the praise HaKadosh Baruch. So that's until Akel HaKadosh. Then after you fit, then the middle part is going to be bakasha to Rechem. And then the end part of the Shemana Esrei is that the Acheret dictates that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch after you offer your bakashas. So you have to give Haidoy. But the essence of the Shemana Esrei really is the middle part. So that's where Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has in his Sefer, he has Takasha. On Shabbos, the Gemara says we don't have Bakasha Sarach. We leave out the whole middle part of the Shemana Esrei. And the Rambam holds that you're obligated to daven once a day, every day, in HaTorah. So how are you going to the Chi of Tfilah on Shabbos and Yom Tov? If you leave out the middle part, there are no Bakasha Sarach. So he says it's not true that there are no Bakasha Sarach. There are no Gashmi Zdike. Sarachim that we ask for. We don't ask for refuah, we don't ask for gelula, we don't ask for parnasa, and so on. But he says the main part of the middle bracha of the Shemana Esrei on Shabbos is the concluding paragraph. Elokeinu Kaveseinu, Mitzei B'Merchaseinu, accept our observance of Shabbos, Kavshenu B'Mitzvasecha, Saying Hakeinu B'Sarasecha, and the same thing on Yom Tov. The essence, the main part of the middle bracha is not so much the introduction. We speak about that. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us what Titulon is Yom Chag HaPesach Hazeh, Yom Chag Matzah Hazeh. No, the main part of the middle bracha in the Shemana Esrei and Yom Tov is again the concluding paragraph where Yeska Kodesh Baruch Hu Bakasha Sarachim. So the same is true, the Malchus Chayin Shofers. Each one of them, the outline of each one of the three brachas of the Malchus Chayin Shofers is that you start off by developing this theme in Emunah. We believe in the principle of Malchus. And we believe in the principle of Zechronis, we believe in the principle of Shofers. And then we demonstrate that this is so from Psukim and Tanakh. So usually you say, Dovis HaKasa B'Torah B'Shanim B'Avim Shulish B'Ktsuvim. Usually you quote one pasuk from Chumash, one pasuk from Navi, one pasuk from Psukim. So here, our practice, we follow that Tana who says, you say three Psukim from the Chumash, three Psukim from Navi, three Psukim from the Ktsuvim, to make sure that we didn't read the Psukim wrong. So basically that's the outline of the Malchus Chayin Shofers. You start off with a statement of the principle of Emunah. We demonstrate that this is so based on nine psukim from Tanakh. And then we conclude, the punchline is, the concluding paragraph of Malchus and in Zechronis and in Shofers is a bakasha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Melech, so Melech HaKol Olam Kula Bichvaydecha. You promised us that the day is going to come, that you're going to show that you are the Melech HaKol Olam Kula. Not just that we believe you are the Melech now, hiding, and that sometime you're going to demonstrate that you are the Melech. We ask you to demonstrate your Malchus. And the purpose of the Tkiya Shofar is to elevate that Bakosha at the end, in the concluding paragraph of the Malchus, the concluding paragraph of the Zechronis, and the concluding paragraph of the Shofar. Each one has a Bakosha. The concluding paragraph of each one of the three brachas has a Bakosha. So you want to elevate the level of that Bakosha to a higher level of Tfilah.
It would seem strange to them. Basically, you're reenacting the Karbanas. In Shabbos, we have that too, because it's basically the same brachas we have by Shabbos.
Right. Dishes. The Gemara says that originally they used to blow Shofar in Shachris. Oh,
because of the Goyim.
Yeah. They really used to, on Lamed Beis, on the base. The Mishnah says originally they used to blow Shofar in Shachris, and the Melech they said Malchus Chayin Shofers in Shachris. I, but half the shul didn't show up yet. In Shachris.
Not our shul.
Yeah, but in the days of the Gemara, I was taking one, that by Shachris half the shul was empty. So the Gemara says that Zrizim Magdimu LeMitzvus take precedence over Beroy Vam Haris Mal. So strictly speaking, it's better to blow Shofar in Shachris than in Musav, because Zrizim Magdimu. Those who didn't show up Shachris, so they'll blow Bichidus later on. But because of the Gzeres HaMalchus, so that's why they switched it to Musaf, and Tesis says once they switched it, so we leave it like that. But that's what the Poskim point out this Gemara, that whenever you have a conflict between Roivam Habres Melech and Zriz Magdim HaMitzvus, we prefer to have the Zriz Magdim. That's the issue you have all the time by Pidyon HaBen. Should you have the Pidyon HaBen like a Bris Milah? Should you have it right after Shachris? Should you have the Pidyon HaBen after Shachris? So hardly anybody will show up. Because to a bris, people probably will show up. But if you can have Ben, they're not used to it, so hardly anybody will show up. Or should you have the Pidyon HaBen later in the day when everybody's finished with working, so you have a bigger crowd? So they say the answer appears in this Gemara, that really Zriz Magdimim should really take precedence. You should have it, you should daven it in early, then you have Pidyon HaBen early in the morning. And They say it's not really proper that we don't do that. Wherever we make a pinyan at night, usually they make later in the day. In order to be mad if the Beroi Vam Haras Melech over the Zriz Magdim Lanitzvah. I say this Gemara is the famous like that.
In Cain, why do many shuls even stay in the name of when the Melech had omitted it? Madoch, make it come from Madoch, where there's a conflict in the region of New Orleans, in the Rabban Haras Melech.
Very good question. It's a very good question. See here, I don't know. Got to think about that. See here, the Gemara has a comment on the trua. So the Gemara has the three different opinions. What is the sound of the trua supposed to be? So one Tana says it's supposed to be what you call Trua, one Tana is supposed to be what we call Shvarim, and the third Tana says it's supposed to be what we call Shvarim Tura. What is the argument all about? So the Gemara says the Pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Trua Yelachem. And the Targum Onkelos writes on that Pasuk Yom Yabavim. And Yabavim means to cry. So the Tanaim say that, well, there are three different forms of crying. Some parts of crying, people will cry like a Shvarim. Some people will cry like a Trua, and some people will cry like Shvarim Trua. Why don't you say, have another logical possibility to have a Trua Shvarim? So the Gemara says people don't cry like that. These are three ways to cry. So because the three different opinions, what the sound of the Trua should be, and the Torah requires that we should blow three times Tkiya, Trua Tkiya, and there are three possibilities of Trua, that's why we blow Tashrat three times, and Tashrat three times, and Tarat three times. So what is the Gemara talking about crying? Gemara says that the kol ha-shofar should sound like crying. It's very unclear in the Gemara. What does shofar have to do with crying? So the pashtus is that this is based on a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia. In Perek HaZov, the end of Perek HaZov, the Gemara there quotes the pasuk from Megillas Eicha. That it says, Gam after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Gam ki ezek v'ashaveya, sasam tfilos. Even if we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's not going to answer our prayers. That's what the meaning is, that we leave out the skabel on Tisha B'Av when you daven. It's not a din in the Beis HaOvel. That's what Rabbi Kevega points out. A lot of people had a mistaken practice that in a Shiva home, they don't say Tiskabel. So he says they made a mistake. They thought that the reason why we leave out the skabel on Tisha B'Av is because that's the meaning in the middle of Shiva. He says, not true. It's a special meaning, only has to do with Tisha B'Av, because when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash is Kibesei Beis Tvili Yikorei L'Cholam. Beis HaMikdash is not only the place of Akrovas HaKavonis, it's the Mokam HaTvilas, and even those who daven Chutz L'Eretz Yisrael have to daven Shlomo HaMelech says, Vavar Lecha Derech HaBayis HaZeh, you should face the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the office for the having the Tvilas Miskabel. And after the Beis HaMikdash Mischar, so the Gemara says that Tvilas are not accepted to the same extent that used to be accepted as Manshe Beis HaMikdash HaYikam. So then the Gemara is quick to add on, that afalpi, even though shari tefila ninalu, shari demo is lo ninalu. If the person davens with such sincerity, and he gets carried away, and he starts crying out of sincerity, so that's a higher level of prayer. So the, even bizman shein beis hamikdash kayim, and the office is closed, b'shari demo is lo ninalu, that's a higher level of prayer. So that's what the Gemara seems to be saying over here. By the tkiya shofar, the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Bey says, the pasuk refers to Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah. The Targum Onkelos translates that as Yom Yabava, a day of crying. What do you mean a day of crying? The crying is to elevate the tefillah to the level of a tefillah sheyesh imo demoyes. So that's what Rashi understands, that this is a din d'oraisa, to have the tkiya shofar at the conclusion of the Malchus, Zechrinus, and the shofars. That the concluding paragraph of Malchus, the concluding paragraph of Zechrinus, and the concluding paragraph of shofars has the bakasha. So this is a serious bakasha for all of Klal Yisrael, for all of the whole world. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchus. That's the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He created the world, then He became the Melech. So we want to coronate Him again. And Zechrinus is the day on which He judges the whole world. And Shofar, we speak about Gilui Shechina, so we pray with great sincerity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reveal His Malchus, and He should give us a good Mishpat, the Zechrinus, and the Shofar, He should reveal Himself, He should be a Gilui Shechina. So to enhance that prayer, we blow Shofar. That's what the Mishnah has earlier. The Gemara interprets the Mishnah as saying, why do we say 10 psukim and Malchus Chayin HaShofers? The Gemara says, really, 9 psukim should have been enough. Because at the beginning of each one of the three Malchus Chayin HaShofers, we formulate this principle of Emunah. We believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malach HaOlam, we believe in Schar D'Yonish, and he has Yediyah, and he knows everything that's happening, and has Yecholos, he has control over the whole world. And Shofers, we believe that God can communicate with human beings, that he has communicated in the past, and he promises to reveal himself in the future, to communicate to us in the future. So we speak about these Eikorim and Amun, and then we demonstrate that these are true by quoting Ksukim from Tanakh. So normally we would say, Dovazak Pasabat Torah, Bishonim Bavim, Shulish Baksuvim. We would quote one Pasuk from Chumash and one Pasuk from Navi, one Pasuk from Ksuvim. Here we want to demonstrate for sure that we didn't misread it. So we quote three Ksukim from Chumash and three from Navim and three from Ksuvim. So that's 9. So why do we have the practice that we have 10? So the Gemara says, no, the 10th Pasuk really belongs in the last paragraph. The 10th Pasuk is to enhance the Bakash at the end. In Malchus, we don't put it in the last paragraph. We put the 10th Pasuk after the 9th Pasuk, but really, it really doesn't have any connection to the 9th Pasuk. It's really connected with the Bakash later. We want to offer a prayer, so we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfill the promise that you gave us in your Torah. You told us in the Torah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadosh, Hashem HaKadosh, the day will come. God, who is now only our God, Hashem HaKadosh, the day will come that He will be the God over the whole world. And you told us in the Chumash that there's going to be Zechariah. You told us that there's going to be Shofar. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill the promise that He gave. So the recitation of the 10th Pasuk, as well as the Tkiyah Shofar, are both to enhance the Bakasha at the conclusion of each one of these three. At the conclusion of the Malchus, at the conclusion of the Zechariah, at the conclusion of the Shofar. That's what the Gemara has. Like one Tana is of the opinion that you don't blow Shofar after Malchus. The whole Gemara before, when do you say Malchus? When do you say, we combine. The Gemara says you have to have Gimel Rishonis and Gimel Achronis and the Shmoneh Esrei. Then you have Malchus, Achronis, and Shofar as another three. Then you have to have a Brocha and Kedushas Hayom, like on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. So really, there should be 10 Brochas. In the Shmoneh Esrei on the Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. The first three, the last three, the middle three, and another one, the Kedushas Hayom. So all the Tanaim assume you only have 9, you don't have 10 brachas. The Gemara says why? The Gemara says because whenever you formulate a Tefillah, it has to be based on something in Tanakh. You have to have a Mokum in Tanakh that you have the right to offer such a Tefillah. And the Gemara says, Adan Sheknes HaGdol, who composed all the Tefillahs, consisted of 120 Chachamim, but Behem Kam Anavim. And amongst them are several prophets. Rav Chaim Volozhin points out in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, if not for the fact that they had amongst them Kama Nevi'im, they wouldn't have the right to compose a tefillah. You have to have a koach hanavuah. And when you compose the tefillah, it has to have a precedent in Tanakh. So they found a precedent for a tefillah that has 9 units in tefillahs chana. They didn't find a precedent for a tefillah that had 10 units. So all the Tanaim assumed you have to take the first three and the last three brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei are going to be the same. That's always the same. You have to take the three Malchus Chayin HaShofers and somehow combine it with the other bracha of Kedushas Hayom, that they should be kvetched in, they should be combined together only to make 9 brachas, not to have 10. So there was a machlokes HaTanaim, how do you combine? The Mishnah record, the three, Mishnah and the Braisa, there are three different opinions. So one Tanam was of the opinion, Bechman Nuri was of the opinion that you combine Malchus with Ata Kodesh V'Shimcha Kodesh, then you have the whole Malchus there. Then after you finish HaMelech HaKadosh, the fourth bracha is only Kedushas Hayom. And you're not going to conclude Melech HaKol HaRetz, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Just say Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. We say Melech HaKol HaRetz because we're combining two different things. We follow Rebbe Akiva's opinion. Rebbe Akiva says the bracha after Kadosh is only HaMelech HaKadosh, that's all. And then the next bracha is a combination of two. You combine together Kedushas Hayom with Malchus. And then the Gemara quotes a third Tana, not like Rabbi Chaimanui, not like Rabbi Akiva, that the two brachas that are combined together are Zechreinus with Kedushas Hayom. So just like on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov, the bracha Emtsoi is the middle bracha in the Tefillah, is the bracha on the Kedushas Hayom, so on Rosh Hashanah also, the middle bracha is a Zechreinus. Malchus Chayin HaShofers, Zechreinus is the center bracha. So the center bracha should be combined with the with the Kedushas Hayom. So Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Chaimanui. Bechmanuri says that you say Malchiyos in the middle of Kedushas Hashem, Ata Kodesh V'Shimcha Kodesh, and you have this long nusach of Malchiyos there. So he says that when you recite the Malchus there, so he says you don't blow shofar then. You only blow shofar later. So Rabbi Akiva says, if he's not blowing shofar, why does he add the 10th pasuk? Because you only say 9 pasukim. So you see from the Gemara that the adding of the 10th pasuk with the blowing of the shofar go together. They're both for the purpose of enhancing the bakosha at the conclusion of the bracha. The concluding paragraph of Malchus, the concluding paragraph of Zechonis, the concluding paragraph of Shofaris consist of the bakosha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill his promise that he's going to have this institution of Malchus and Shofaris. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill that promise. So we enhance the bakosha by quoting an extra pasuk. The 9 psukim that we quoted, those were in order to demonstrate the theme that this seeker in Emunah is authentic. And then the adding of the 10th pasuk is to enhance the bakosha. So Rabbi Akiva says the blowing of the shofar is also for the purpose of enhancing the bakosha. To elevate the level of the tefillah, instead of just being a plain tefillah, should be a tefillah sheyeshi modimois. So that's why, otherwise, if you don't say like that, we don't understand bechlal. Why did the Chacham institute kiyah shofar in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei? Why should it be a hefsek? You don't mix in one mitzvah in the middle of the other mitzvah. You have to assume that the tekiyah shofar blends in to be one together with the tefillah. The tekiyah shofar is to enhance the tefillah, to elevate it from the level of plain tefillah to the level of tefillah sheyesh imoyim demos.
So why do we have our minhag Ashkenaz that we don't do like the Sfarad? They do it in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei and in the Chazor of the Shas. If we're not in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei, that's we're going to have the demos.
Yeah.
If he's a good chazan, maybe you'll cry too.
Right. So that's what the Gemara says on Lamedal and Lamedbeis. This din, according to Rashi, it's a din deraisa. Tefillah tkiyas al seida habracha. It's going to Rabban. It's only the Rabbanim. The whole Malchus Menah Shofar is only the Rabbanim. So this din of tkiyas al seida habracha, the Gemara says, it's only when you daven b'tzibur, when you daven b'yochid not. So that's the machlekes of Rishonim. What does that mean? Only chazaras hashas? What does it mean? If you have tefillah b'tzibur, if you have a private person who's davening at home, who does not have a minyan, so the Gemara says, for sure you don't blow shofar in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh. But if you have a tzibur davening tefillah b'tzibur belachash, so that's tefillah sayochid, but it's tefillah b'tzibur. The Chazar Sashatz is tefillah satzibur. The whole tzibur is offering one tefillah together. So that for sure, that's when you blow shofar, when you have the whole tzibur is offering one tefillah together. If you have each yochid is davening tefillah sayochid, but tefillah b'tzibur, so that Taisus quotes the Aruch, this long Taisus. The Aruch did blow in the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei, and others did not. That was the Shaila. How to read this Gemara? The Gemara says only the Tzibur. The Aruch, the Rishon, the contemporary of Rashi, the Aruch, Taisus quotes that he is the blow.
I don't remember
I said that. In Maimonides, I used to have blowing in the middle of tefillah belachash because it was a tiny little minyan. There were just 20 people. It was a very small minyan. He said, in a big minyan, it's not right. The interest of Serab Chaim and the Brisk had a private, yeah. Serab Chaim and Brisk wouldn't introduce it in shul. It would be a balagan. It would be terrible, like by Tchassim. No one knows where you're holding. But Rab Chaim had a private minyan at Rosh Hashanah, so the private minyan, a small minyan, but then it makes sense.
Why should the tefillah of a yochid be any different? So you also want to elevate the tefillah to a tefillah shishmas vav.
I don't know, it's a very good question. You see, according to Rashi, that this is on the level of the Raisa. You see that this, on the level of the Raisa, there's a difference qualitatively between tefillah satzibur, and tefillah sayochid, and tefillah bitzibur, and tefillah sayochid. That's dam chumres medirabonim. According to Rashi, this din d'arise at tkiyas al seira brachas, the Gemara is saying that the added tradition that it's only when you daven tefillah b'tzibur, you daven tefillah b'yochidah.
What's the significance of the combination of the kedushas hayom to this bracha as opposed to that bracha?
The Tanoim had a machlok. They all had a tradition. You have to combine two brachas together.
Why?
Otherwise, so the had a machlok is which is the best way from all of this situation. Which is the best way to do? So we have adopted Rabbi Akiva's opinion that the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchiyas. So these two blend in together. But the other Tanoim disagreed. They thought that it's better to do it otherwise. Rabbi Akiva responded to Rabbi Chamanuri, according to him, that you don't blow shofar after Malchiyas, which is included within the Atta Kodesh before Melech HaKodesh. So then it does make sense to add the 10th pasuk. The 10th pasuk is for the same purpose of the tekiyas, namely to enhance to enhance the bakasha, that the bakasha should be elevated to the level of tefillah she'yesh imoyim demoyos. That's the purpose of the tkiya shofar. And the pasuk is also to elevate to make the tefillah into a stronger tefillah.
And what the grav called it also to cry on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So this whole thing is against it.
The Gemara seems to say at least that the tefillah is supposed to be a higher level of the tefillah with the demoyos, yeah. That's what it says in the Gemara. I don't know. You know, the Brisker have a Kpeda. The Rambam in Perek Aleph and Hilchas Brachas quotes the din in the Gemara. Whenever you hear somebody say bracha, you have to say amen. If you wanted the yotzer with his bracha, sure you'd say amen. And even if you're saying asher yotzer, point of fashas, whatever, you're not being yotzer with his bracha, you should always say amen. What's a din if I want to be yotzer with Kiddush Abdallah and I listened to the bracha and I didn't say amen? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara Shameya, ke'oina. If I listen, even if I didn't say amen, it's ke'oina as if I answered. And if I did answer, that's even better. So the Rambam wrote the din in Hilchas Brachas and Perek Aleph. So we assume that that's the din. He doesn't have to keep on repeating it all over. So then the Rambam has another three places where he says you got to answer amen. One of them is in Hilchas Tfilah. He writes about Chazaras Hashatz. So he says, the Chazan says all the Brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei, and all each and every member of the Tzibur has to answer amen at the conclusion of every Bracha. So the Brisker, and he has another two places also like that. Why does he have to mention that you have to answer amen? He already wrote it. Berak Aleph and Ilchas Brachas. Whenever you hear a bracha, you have to say amen. Certainly, if you want to be answered with the bracha, you have to say amen. Why does he repeat it in the three places? So they understood that he means that over here, amen is the equivalent. That if the tzibur doesn't answer amen, if you don't have nine people, you don't have five, six people answering amen, so you're not getting to the tefillah, you're not getting to the Chazaras Hashatz. Why should that be so? If you don't have audience participation, then it's not called the Tfilah Shel Tzibur. Okay? It's a Chiddush. When someone says Kiddush Abdallah and I'm paying attention even if I don't say Amen, Yotzi, that's a Gemara in Sukkah. Well, the year by Chazaras Hashatz, if you don't have people answering Amen, you don't have the participation of the Tzibur, so the whole Chazaras Hashatz is meaningless. So then the Rambam quotes also the Gemara that you have to answer Amen properly. You shouldn't answer too soon, you shouldn't answer later. Too soon means before the Chazan finished the bracha. A lot of people, they say amen before the Chazan finished the bracha. So that's not right. That's called amen chatufim. You chap too fast. And then amen yisoyma. You finish the bracha and you pause. And you wait too long to say amen. You're rather just on Shabbos, Friday night, be davening broyers. So because it's Chodesh Elul, so they have a minute that at the end of the Kaddish, by Ma'ariv, they want everybody to know that Yimei Haslichas are coming. So at the end of the Kaddish, Deinim Kol Chasim Shana Tishim Chasim Rachamas Adam Iram Biyomo Biyimru. The Chazan keeps on going on and on and on until he finally says Biyimru Amen. So the Mishnah Berurah says that you shouldn't wait till he finishes. That's going to be an Amin Yisayma. When he says Deinim Kol Chasim Adam Iram Biyomo, and you know he's going to gargle away, you should say Amen right away. And Rashi Yom Kippur also, some of the Kaddish and the Chazan enjoys, the Chazan has the minute to say like that. So the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't wait till he says Amen. That would be an Amen you have to say right away. So if you answer Amen too fast, if you answer Amen too early or too late, so that's a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, the Nigin of the Balei Tefillah is misleading. It misleads the Tzibur to answer Amen incorrectly. Take, for example, the Chazan says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Zocher Habris. Usually people say, Zocher Habamein. People usually say Amen simultaneously with the concluding syllable of the Chazan. Shadei Shisrael, Yom HaZikamein. So you shouldn't.
You should wait till you finish the
verse. He said it. I'm just telling you to say Amen.
Right.
Zocher
Habris,
he didn't finish the
bracha. Right. No, so in both cases, you have to answer Amen. In the one case, you have to say Amen after the Chazan finishes the final syllable. And then by the other one, the Imru Amen, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Achrayim. It's not right to wait till he says the Imru Amen. That's going to be too long. Too long. It points to say right away. So the Mishnah Berurah says that the way the Nigin has it, and Shol Shigalim also like that. Kadesh Yisrael, Avahaz Mamen. Usually they say Amen together with the final syllable, which is incorrect. That's Gechaptusum. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Velvela Soloveitchik and they're makbid about this. They have the shita that the Rambam seems to say that if you don't have people answering Amen, say not Yotze the Chazaras Hashatz. If you're not Yotze the Chazaras Hashatz, then you're not Yotze this din of Tkiyas Al Seder Arbachas. The Gemara said it only applies B'tzibur. And if you answer Amen incorrectly, they assume that it's like not answering Amen at all. It doesn't exactly say that. That's their assumption. If you're going to answer Amen before the Chap Amen, to answer Amen before the Chazan finishes the final syllable of the Bracha, so it's as if they didn't answer. So that's why Rabbi Soloveitchik and others from their tradition, they would always make an announcement every year. He would make an announcement before the Baal Tekeh would blow Shofar. He'd make an announcement that in the middle of the Hazaras Hashatz, everyone should wait till the Chazan recites the final syllable of each Bracha before they say Amen. I remember hearing the Yeshiva years ago, one of the students. So Rabbi Fishman used to walk from the Bronx in order to daven. He learned by Rav Elvela. So in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, he would turn around and be like the choir leader. He'd show everybody when they should not say Amen and when they should say Amen. Because the natural tendency is to say Amen at the wrong time. Say Amen with the final syllable of the Baruch and the Chazan, which is not correct. So that's the Ekpeda. They think that on Rosh Hashanah, more so than all year long, if you're not going to have the people answering Amen properly, you won't be able to this din, either Takona de Rabbanon or Adin de Raisa, of Kiyas Al Seder Abrochas. You have to make sure that the people are answering Amen properly.
See how there's Kiyas Hatzib or a separate thing, not making up for those who couldn't
have. The initial incentive to institute the Chazaras Hashatz was because there were people who were not Bikiyah. But the Rambam has in the Tshuva, once they instituted it, even if everybody in Shul knows how to daven, we still have to have Chazaras Hashatz. Why? So that's where Rav Soloveitchik explained that there are two. There's a concept of Tfilos HaTzibur, the Tzibur, and that's our practice, that we assume that the Tkiyas Al Seder Abrach is only in the Tfilos HaTzibur, not in the Tfilos HaYach. So it's not called the Tfilos HaTzibur, according to the Rambam, unless you have people answering Amen properly. If you don't have the audience participation in the proper fashion, then it's not called the Tfilos HaTzibur. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that the proper thing is you can't be yotze tkiyas al seder abrachas. That's a person damas alang Shemoneh Esrei. So he's going to finish his shtil Shemoneh Esrei before the chazan gets to the end of Malchias, before the chazan gets to Kedusha. But it's not going to be finished before the chazan starts the Shemoneh Esrei. So he's not yotze the tkiyas al seder abrachas. Tkiyas al seder abrachas. You have to listen to the chazar sashas from the beginning to the end.
You have also said that if you not chayshus during the
Chazaras Hashatz,
during the
Rayim,
you should.
That's already an added chum, yeah.
What's the age if you're going to daven and got caught the language for that?
So, if a person knows he's going to daven in the shul, where the chazan is not going to wait too long, so he should leave everything out that's unnecessary. So he should leave out all kinds of tzor. Leave out the other piyutim there. Let's say the chen tein pachducha basically is only a piyut. If you left that out, you're yotze without it. And you should leave out as much as you can to make sure that you get that you finish your shtil Shemoneh Esrei before the chazan starts the Chazaras Hashatz. So what you can do is, what a lot of people do in yeshiva, they finish the tefillah belachash, they step back, and then the chazan didn't begin yet. So then they'll say alakan etzor. They'll say what other piyutim they want to say then. But then as soon as the chazan starts, you got to pay attention from the beginning to the end. Otherwise, it's not really considered tkiyas al seder abrachas. You want to be yotze the whole Chazaras Hashatz, to have tkiyas al seder. That's a problem. That's a problem. So you usually go out to wash in the middle of piyutim. But if so, the piyutim, you can live without the piyutim. Those are not miyake. But if they're going to go out in the middle of the actual bracha itself, that's a problem. If they're going to be walking around when the chazan is saying the actual Shemoneh Esrei, that's going to be a problem. So that's why in Goyas, they have the practice that they wash in Frankfurt also. They used to have the practice, they wash the ends of the kohanim right next to the chazan.
Right.
They have a special bowl on the right side and on the left side.
Goyas has that now?
Yeah. Sure. They wash. Chassam Sofer writes, he remembers the way the haflor was a lady. Ram Nas Nadla was a kohen. So he remembers in front of everybody in the shul, the haflo was the Rav, Ram Nas Nadla was a Tam Chacham. The haflo would wash the hands of Ram Nas Nadla. in front of everybody. You should all the Kohanim wash their hands in front, because they didn't want to miss. They didn't want to miss the. They don't want to miss the davening. So they brought the bowl of water into the shul, so everybody will hear the davening. There is a Mishnah in Sukkah, and Daf Chafeim, and the Mishnah says that Oisik b'mitzvah patam min ha-mitzvah. The Mishnah gives an example, a holchim ledvar mitzvah. People are traveling on a highway in order to fulfill a mitzvah, so they don't have to sleep in the Sukkah. What's an example of holchim ledvar mitzvah? So Rashi says they're traveling in order to take care of pidyon shvuyim, or they're traveling in order to go learn in the yeshiva. So some Rishonim write, they have in the Tshuvas of Marach HaRazarua, the son of the HaRazarua, he writes, that some of the Balei HaTaisvus, when they would be traveling to go to the yeshiva, it would take 2 days or so. They wouldn't daven Mincha Ma'ariv on the way. Oisik ben mitzvah, potter ben mitzvah. It's not only the potter from Sukkah, the potter from davening also. So the Yor Sameach is bothered with a kasha. How can it be? But the din is Oisik ben mitzvah, potter ben mitzvah applies to all other mitzvahs except for Limud HaTorah. Let's say a guy's busy learning, he's learning all day and all night. He's not going to daven Shachar's Mincha Ma'ariv. So the Rishalmi says it's going to turn out that he's Lamed Shalom and Aslasais. So what kind of learning is that? So you only say Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem and HaMitzvah if you're Oisik in some other mitzvah other than Talmud Torah. But Talmud Torah doesn't path you from fulfilling other mitzvahs. That's the famous passage in the Rishalmi. The Babli has the saying, but the Babli doesn't have such a dramatic statement. Babli has the din, but doesn't have this explanation. The Rishalmi says the reason why, because if you learn and you won't fulfill the mitzvahs, it'll be Lamed Shalom and Aslasais. All learning is worthless. So how can Rashi say, how can the Rishonim have such a practice that one who goes to learn in the yeshiva is butter from davening? What do you mean? Learning in the yeshiva is Talmud Torah. So how does Talmud Torah butter? And when he's in the yeshiva, doesn't butter him from davening? Shachas bin Chamav. So how can be when he's traveling to go to learn, he's butter from davening? So the Belt gives the answer on the Osamech's kasha. When you go to learn in the yeshiva, that's a different mitzvah. When you're learning in the yeshiva, that's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When a person is traveling to go learn in the yeshiva is a mikdash meyat, so that's like a person is oiler ego. A person is going to be mekabel b'nei hashchin. A person goes to see what he can pick up there in the yeshiva. He goes to the shul. Like the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, 2 weeks ago we had it. It says, you should go to Yerushalayim and eat the ma'aseh she'ni there, l'man tilmad liyiras Hashem elokecha. You should go to Yerushalayim in order to be influenced. You see the Kaharim and the Levim and the Karbonis and so on. A person travels all the way from Baltimore, you have yeshivas around the corner. But if you travel all the way from Baltimore to New York to come to yeshiva to pick something up, the learning that you'll pick up, that's Talmud Torah. But the traveling on the way, that's another mitzvah. That's like Aliyah L'Regel. So you people really deserve special credit for traveling all the way. You get more schar alicha if you come here than if you just go around the corner. You should have a successful year. Tzivach simetim, a good gebenchtio.
Thank you very much.